The second verse, nearer, still nearer. Nothing I bring. I've got nothing to bring to my God. Nothing that He needs. Not as an offering to Jesus, my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart. Grant me thy cleansing, thy blood doth impart. Boy, the longer I'm saved, the more I realize how insignificant I am. And yet God still loves me and wants to use me. And that's true for each and every one of us here this morning. There is something that God has for each of us to do. We just have to be available for Him to use. Amen. That was free. Had nothing to do with the sermon, but I forgot to mention Candace. She's sick this morning, so do pray for her. And also, Eileen is doing very well. We got her unstapled on Wednesday, and she didn't fall apart. And she's progressing quite well, and not a lot of pain. So thank you for your prayers, and continue to keep them up as well. I want to speak this morning about faith on trial. I've got two passages. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 3, but I would like to start with 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll go back to Daniel chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be. Three things he says there. Now, and for a season, if need be. There's a need for this. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Faith is simply believing God, taking Him at His word. And that's what our salvation is based upon. It says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Simply believing Him. Our relationship with God, our walk with Him begins with faith. And the thing that helped me, I struggled with eternal security for about a year and a half after I was saved. And I came to Romans 10:13. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that settled it for me. I stopped looking at the change that took place in my life, the different things, and are just focused on this. Believing what God said in His word. Faith. And that's where our relationship with God needs to rest, on what's recorded here. This is His word. But you know, faith is of no value unless it's tested. You go through the scriptures and you look and you see every believer has their faith tested. Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. Noah, Abraham, Job, David, Peter, Paul, all had their faith tested. And you think about Peter, who wrote 1 Peter. He went through some things, didn't he? Oh, the Lord said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, Peter. But I have prayed for thee and when our heart converted to strengthen thy brethren. Faith is tested. It's of no value till it's tested. The question is, do we really trust God? Or is it just a creed that we voice our assent to? Do you really believe God's promises? Do we really depend upon Him in our daily lives? That song we sang, nearer, still nearer. Are you drawing nearer to Him? Close to His heart. That's what He desires of us. In Daniel chapter 3, we read about four young men. Actually, three in Daniel 3. But the story starts in chapter 1. And let's just jump back to Daniel chapter 1 for a moment and kind of get up to speed on these four individuals. They come to the country of Babylon. They're brought captives from the country of Babylon. Look at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. This was the beginning of the 70-year captivity of the nation of Israel. The northern kingdom had been carried captive by the Assyrians 125 years before this. And they've been warned and they've been preached to, and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah had all told them, this is coming. Well, now it's come. And they begun this time of 70 years outside of the land of Israel, captive to the Babylonians. Verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. God allowed that, because the people of Israel turned away from him, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. I want you to pick out from the hierarchy of Israel. I want you to bring me certain of them. And so he did. Children in whom is no blemish. But not just any of them. Special ones. But well favored. And skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I want you to search out the best, the brightest, the greatest among the people of Israel, and I want them to stand in my palace. I want them to learn our language, and I want to be a contribute to our nation. These were this knowledge that they would have, wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, believing the science, right? So they're chosen. Drop down to verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So there was some preparation, 3 years in fact, of preparation that was to take place here of these who had been selected, and they were going to stand before the king and see how they had been prepared and how well they were suited for the purposes that this king had. Look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Right away they were tested. Well, I can't drink that. I'm not going to take part in those things that have been sacrificed to idols. Captives. And yet they're boldly taking this stand against the meat that they're given, the food that they're given. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, For why should he see your faces worse, liking than the children which are of your sword? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Look, Daniel, you know what you're asking? I mean, he's got this spread for you. He's going to feed you guys. He's going to take care of you. And if you don't take what he's provided, you're going to be weak and sickly looking, and you're going to endanger me. Verse 11, then said Daniel to Melsar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal well with thy servants. So he contended to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances were appear fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. They were tested right away. And they said, we're going to be faithful to our God. We're not going to defile ourselves with these things that you're providing for us. And you put us to the test, and God's going to bring us through. And they were fairer and fatter than all the others who ate of what was provided for them. The first test. But then you come to Daniel chapter 3, and they were tested again. Now think about this. They're in a strange land. They've been taken away from their home, their families. They're away from everything that they're just familiar to them. And they're in the king's palace. And they say, you know what? We're willing to throw it all away to be faithful to our God. And God had shown himself faithful to them in this situation. But now the next test comes. Look at Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Everybody's there, all gathered around before this great image that Nebuchadnezzar has built. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the old golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. When the band strikes it up, y'all fall down in front of this image and worship this image. This is a lot stiffer than just refusing to eat some provisions given to them, because everybody's there. And if they don't bow, and everybody else does, there's going to be no hiding that. Verse 5, that at what time you hear, let me down to verse 6. And whoso falleth not down to worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Everybody hit the dirt except verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O King, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O King, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They're disrespecting you, King. They're not being obedient to your decree. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready," maybe you missed the instructions the first time, you know. I'll give you one more chance here. "If ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Boy, that puts the gauntlet down. What God's going to be able to withstand that? You got this chance, guys. Verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner.'" We thought about this. We've made up our mind. We understand the consequences. Here's what we're doing. Verse 17, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They're put to the test again, and they take their stand. Their faith is tested, and it revealed the strength and depth of their faith. We understand fully what our decision means. But we more understand our God, and we're going to be faithful to him. There's three things I want us to see from this passage this morning. The first is this: they had a faith in the presence of God. Look at verse 17 again. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us." They knew that even though they were in a foreign land, they were away from all that's familiar to them, under the control of a foreign king, an enemy king who had conquered them, that God was still there with them. They had a faith in the presence of God. No matter where they went, they knew that God was with them. They were confident in that presence. And their circumstances did not alter that confidence. Why don't you go back to Isaiah 43 for a moment. Now these young men, obviously, they're well educated. They're knowledgeable about many things. But especially they're knowledgeable about their faith and about their history. Over here in Isaiah chapter 43, of course, Isaiah prophesied through the Assyrian captivity 125 years before this, as well as of the coming Babylonian captivity. And here's what Isaiah had to say back then. Isaiah 43, start in verse 2. Well, start in verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee. O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. As he was through the Red Sea, and later through the Jordan River, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Now, I don't know of anything recorded in scriptures up to this point that falls into that category. But this does. And God says, I'll be with you when you pass through the fire. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee. Therefore I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God had promised before and repeatedly, even before this, I'm with thee. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And these men stand before Nebuchadnezzar here. Look at verse 17 again. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. They had a confidence in his presence. And they had a fear in his presence as well. We know God's aware of everything that takes place. The eyes of the Lord walk to and fro the earth, beholding himself strong on behalf of those who trust him. God knows. And Christian, I don't know what you might be facing this morning. It's certainly nothing, I don't think, like this, unless I'm not aware of something. But God has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And we need to have that faith in that constant, ever presence of our God on our behalf. Even at the point of Psalm 23 and verse 4, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We need that faith in the presence of God, which these men had, to trust no matter what, that God was with them. And if they went through something, God would go through them with it, God with them through it. But secondly, I want you to see this. There was faith in the power of God. God is, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us. We know what God can do. These guys knew the history of their people. Through the waters, through the fire, the God that sent down fire for Elijah that we looked at last week. That's the God that they served. And they trusted that power to be available to them as well, if needed. Able to deliver. Confident in his ability and his power. I mean, he spoke and brought all this into existence. Folks, that's our God. The God we hear this morning in 2023 serve. The same God. And we need to have that confidence, not only in his presence, but that confidence in his power as well. There is no situation. There is no trial. There is no problem too difficult for God. God's able. Look at verse 26 here in Daniel chapter 3. Verse 26, they've been thrown into the fire. Well, let's back up just a little bit. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because at the second chance they still refused to bend and bow, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats with their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I mean, they weren't just picked up and thrown in. They were bound first. They were wrapped tight. And they picked them up and they threw them in there. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, that thing was heated up till it was glowing red. And even the guys that picked them up and threw them in there to get close enough to throw them in, it killed them. Just like that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down into the fire. And these three men, verse 23, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, because remember they were bound before they were thrown in, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, even though it consumed the guys that threw them in. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There's that presence of God. Man, that's powerful. Think about that. These guys are probably thinking, well, I guess God's done with us, and we're going to meet him. As they're bound up and carried and launched into that fire. And the next thing you know, my bonds are gone. And we're in the fire. But who's that? The fourth was like a Son of God, Jesus Christ. Presence and the power that they could be spared that thing. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. God protected them. God didn't deliver them from the furnace. But God delivered them through the furnace. Folks, sometimes we got to be tested. Sometimes God wants to expose our weakness as well as our strength. And these guys put their faith and trust in the presence and the power of their God to be able to deliver them if he chose to do so. What's God want to do in your life? What's God trying to do right now in your life? Number one, he's with you. Don't forget that. And number two, he's completely able to do whatever it is that you need, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Ephesians 3:20. These guys, I don't think we're expecting that. What'd they say? Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. I don't think that they were had any idea that if they went in, they'd come out. They just believed God could keep them from going in. Exceeding abundantly above. That's what God does. He went above, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And whatever it is that might be in your life right now, that same God is able to do that for you. The question is, do we have the faith to stand to see what God's going to do, to wait and see how he's going to work? But that's only 2 points. My third point is this. I have faith in the presence of God. They had faith in the power of God. They had faith in the purpose of God. Look at verse 18 again. But if not. We know what God can do. We know we're not here outside of his radar. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we're facing. And he's more than able to deliver us from it. But if not, we also know that it might not be his will. He might have a purpose for us going into that fire. A purpose that could not be served if he delivered us from that fire. If not God, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And so they went in. Because God had another purpose. That's really, I think, a lot of times where we struggle. No, it is for me. Now, here's what I think you need to do, God. Are you listening to me? God says, hush up, boy. Just wait. And he told these guys, hush up, boys. Just wait. And think about what they experienced. What they were able to see. I can't even imagine what it must have been like inside that fiery furnace. Heated 7 times hotter than ever before. As the bonds suddenly released them. And they stood in the midst of the flames. Thought, this is different. And there is Jesus Christ, one like unto the Son of Man, with them in that fire. God didn't leave them. And he says, hi, boys. Welcome. Grab a chair. Get some marshmallows. Eat up. God had a greater purpose. And that old king looks down in there and says, what? How many guys did we throw in there? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. Where'd he come from? And And they're walking around. They're loose. And then they come out. And their hair isn't touched. And their clothes don't even smell of fire. He said, what's going on here? God had a purpose. This is where we often part company with God. Because he didn't follow my plan. He had a greater purpose. We need to trust him. We only believe as long as the outcome is what we desire. And if it doesn't come the way we want, then we begin to pout and fuss and pitch a fit and complain. But look what God did as they waited. Look at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God. Now remember, this whole thing started because of the image that he built and demanded that the whole nation bow down before this thing and worship it as a god. And Nebuchadnezzar has thrown that image aside. He says, this is the God. Blessed be the God who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. God got glorified in this. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He pushed his God aside, and God got glorified. God had a greater purpose, but it required them going through the fire for that purpose to be fulfilled. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I've been saved 47 years. I've been a pastor for 40 of those years. Come this July. And I've not been in any fiery furnaces. But I've seen God do some amazing things. Not spectacular, but definitely some amazing things. What a God we serve. And I've been in some messes too, some by my own making. And God still delivered me. And he'll do the same for you. Look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Verse 6. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth. Oh, that's the wrong chapter. Sorry about that. I'll get in the right chapter here now. All right. Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth mine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. forsake not the work of thine own hands. And he won't. But the problem is, there are some Christians that quit before God's purpose gets fulfilled. They shrink back from the trial, the testing of their faith, and they don't get to grab the prize because they don't see it through to the end. And it can get dark at times. There's no question about that. I know some Christians that have been through some very deep, dark valleys. And I've seen them that perished in the valley, and some that came victorious on the other side. I'd much rather be with the second. Don't quit on God. Wait till he is done with what he plans to do in your life. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. A familiar passage with each and every one of us here. He says this in verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know, do we? That all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God's got a purpose in my life. And you know what? It's not always my happiness that is God's purpose. What's God's purpose? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and that he might become the firstborn, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's fashioning and making me into the image of that one who was the fourth in the fiery furnace. God wants me to reflect Jesus Christ and glorify God the Father. And that's what all the things in my life, the purpose for which all the things in my life are working toward. And happiness on this earth is not always a part of it. These guys were taken away from their home, captives into a foreign land, servants to this pagan king. That in itself was not comfortable according to their happiness. Then they had to refuse this wonderful meal that was set before them to be faithful to their God. Then they had to face the fiery furnace. And then God got glorified. Look at verse, go back to Daniel chapter 3. The very last verse of the chapter. He's pulled out. Nobody's to serve any other God but this God, because there none can deliver like this God. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. At the end of it, they got their reward as well. And Christian, we haven't entered into the place of our reward yet. This is the furnace. This is a time when we're going to have to endure some things. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're soldiers now on the battlefield. This isn't supposed to be where we're comfortable. It's when the battle's over. when our conquering King returns for us and takes us home to be with him, that then we shall receive our reward from his hands. Faith on trial. That's what this whole life is about, folks. And we're to walk by faith and not by sight, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ through all of it. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us to be faithful unto the end. Lord, help us to strive for the mastery, for the crown that is set before us, to run with patience this race, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. God, help us to go through the fires and come out on the other side victorious and giving glory and honor to you. Thank and praise you, God, for your love and your care for us. And Father, if there is a soul here this morning that's never trusted you as Savior, God, help them to understand that that walk of faith begins by putting aside their religion, putting aside their good works, putting aside any thought about me being worthy of your salvation, and just come to you. Nothing in our hands we bring, no offering, but our sinful and contrite hearts. Father, if there's one here that needs to be saved, speak to that heart and draw them to you, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.